I got this idea for my sermon from a sermon that Fred Keller, minister in God's church, gave several years ago. And it's on our home office website. And of course, much of what he said, I obviously don't remember. And some of the examples he gave, I don't remember the individual examples. Because he had quite a few. But he said when he first came into the church, came to Ambassador College in 1959, and people, when they were sick, they just got healed. And he didn't know to think any other way. That's just the way that it was. People got healed. And I don't know when he was ordained a minister, but he was ordained a minister. Then he went out pastoring churches, and he gave several examples of people that they were just healed. And one person, kind of like what we just read a while ago, but was on his deathbed, and he was anointed and then just healed. And sometimes it happened, real soon. So, we, as was brought out in the sermonette, we're living in dangerous times. What we see happening in the world and in this country may very well be, in my speculation, the beginning of sorrows. I've never seen anything like it. And just every day there's something terrible. Just this morning, a little 7-year-old girl abducted by, it was either a FedEx or a UPS driver, murdered. 7 years old. They found her body, and they got the man who did it, so that's good. But so many things are happening that, was brought out in the sermonette and in Luke chapter 18. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Because you can lose faith if everything is going wrong. Everything you hoped for or you had visioned would be happening when it's not. And me and Teresa last night, or Teresa and I, whichever, it winds up being the same two people. So anyhow, we listened to a sermon by Mr. Shaby, and he is really a powerful speaker. He gave it on the Feast of Trumpets. But he talked about the end time, went through just a lot of things that are happening, and we really need to pay attention to what's happening. And because it's just looking bad. It's looking bad in one way, but it's looking good in the sense that it looks like it won't be long until Jesus Christ returns. And that's what we all hope for. And let's see if I've got it. In a Luke chapter 18, verse 1. I'll go ahead and read that again. It says in verse 1 of Luke chapter 18, "And he also spoke a parable to them to show that it is necessary to pray always and not to give up." Or it's one, well, I've got to do another translation. "Then he spoke a parable to them that one must always pray and not lose heart." Don't just get so discouraged because it's not going your way or the way you thought. But in verse 2, he said, "There was in a certain city a certain judge who neither feared God nor respected man." So he thought he was tough. We see that today in our political system, where they pass laws that are totally against what God plainly said. Anybody can read it and see God's is against those things. They don't care. In verse 3, "And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, 'Avenge me of my adversary.' Now for a time he would not, but afterwards he said within himself, 'Although I do not fear God and do not respect man,'" in other words, he said, "I'm it. I'm the king. I don't fear God or man. "Yet because this widow is causing me trouble, I will avenge her, lest she wear me out by continually coming." Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says." Then Christ says, "And shall not God execute vengeance for his elect, who cry out to him day and night and patiently watch over them?" Yeah, will God not patiently watch over us? Yes, he does. "I tell you, that he will execute vengeance for them speedily. And verse 8, I tell you that he will execute vengeance for them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Because things are going to get so bad. So, you know, Christ has given us a lesson here. But just, you know, mentioning what he said at the beginning, which I already read, but he just said, when people were sick, they were healed. He gave many accounts of people that were healed in his ministry. People had faith. One that the doctor said would not live until the next day was healed that very day. So that's just amazing. And when I came into the church, 1965, it was similar to that way. People were healed. You just expected to be healed. Larry Sager was our pastor at this time when we lived in Abilene. And there was a man in the church who was sick, and so Mr. Sager invited me to go with him. So we went to visit him. And he was a young man, slender, no signs of anything wrong, you know, with his health or anything ever. But he was just basically curled up. His hands were like this. His legs, took the cover off of his legs, the feet, I remember, they just seemed a different color. And his wife brought him something to drink, and he just had to hold the glass like this. He couldn't put his hand open it and hold it. It was like this. And she helped him get it up there. Mr. Sager anointed him. And I think it was that very next week, he was back in church just fine. Everything was great. And I think, how can that be? How can it be when you see somebody in such bad shape and they're just healed? You know, like me and my wife Carolyn back when we were just dating, two young people in the Southern Baptist Church there in Rotan at that time. They had us doing different things, like going to nursing homes. And anyhow, we went to visit this lady that was just so crippled. I mean, just legs and arms and everything. And your heart just goes out to them. And, you know, we prayed for her, but, you know, I guess she died that way. And, you know, you see such bad things like that happening. And there was a lady, when I became a pastor of this Baptist church, she never came to church because she was so sick. And since I was a pastor, me and some of the members of the church went up to visit her. And I prayed for her, but she stayed sick. And she's the one that said one time that somebody started telling her that there was this disease going around. And she said, don't tell me. Because if I haven't got it, I'll get it if you mention it. It's just the way it goes with her. And as far as I know, never healed. My personal experience, you know, when our daughter Lori was about a year and a half old, she came down really sick. And this is the way it seemed to work, that Carolyn's parents would come to visit us when something was going wrong that we didn't necessarily wouldn't have told them about because they didn't understand that. They expected us to get her to the doctor immediately. But the church at that time didn't teach to go to a doctor. We just put our trust in God. Anyway, they went back home. We lived in Abilene. They lived in Sweetwater. He was a pastor of a church there in Sweetwater. And they went to my dad and my older brother and told my dad, they would give them so long, maybe an hour or whatever, to get to Abilene and take that child, little baby, to a hospital, or they would call in the law, and they'd just turn it over to the authorities. I never held that against them because I understood how they felt. But then here comes my dad. I don't know if they've done that. Here comes my dad and my older brother to visit us. And Lori was in the floor playing, just happy as a lark. I got a little one here before service, just happy as a lark. Anyway, My dad said, I thought your daughter was sick. And I said, well, yeah, she was sick, Dad. He said, I mean, I thought she was really sick. And I said, yeah, well, she was really sick. But God has healed her. Now she's doing just great. And they couldn't believe it. Carolyn's parents never brought it up again. Now, why would you? You know, because they thought she had to go to a doctor, but she was healed real quickly. And then, and I've told this many times, I know, but Carolyn's eye disease hit her where one eye, she couldn't even open it. And it just swelled and closed shut. And her parents came over, naturally. They didn't know she's sick, it's just that's what happens. But we had been told, you know, you can do natural things. You know, what if something was in her eye? Did she get a splinter or something like that? Maybe got in her eye. That was okay. Go to a doctor. They can pull it out, take it out. So, okay. So we went to a doctor, to a specialist. He looked at it, and he's going to give us some medicine. And we said, because that's what we were taught at that time, said, we don't want any medicine. We just wanted to know if there's something like a splinter or something like that in her eye that you could pull out. But we don't want any medicine. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. There are staph infections that the human body will overcome. This particular staph infection, the human body cannot overcome it. It is eating the skin off of her eyeball, and it's crossing over into the other eye, and it'll get it too, and she'll be totally blind. Okay. This wasn't really good news. But, you know, we called the pastor. Dick Smith at that time was our pastor. And told him about it, so he said he'd pray. And right now, I don't remember exactly how quick, but at least by the next morning, basically totally healed. The eye that was just, that was crossing over into, that was totally gone. And the other, all the infections was almost gone. She could open her eye and see. And then just a couple of days, it was all clear. But, as we know, there was a time. Well, like I'll go ahead and tell this. There was a time when most of the old ones here know it, that Carolyn came down with cancer. And she was, of course, anointed as well. Went for a year or more taking care of her with cancer, and God allowed her to die. I said, what's, you know, the quick, instant healing like was going on way back long ago. You know, it wasn't happening like that as much. And then Mr. Keller brings out that one day a faithful church member died from cancer or some other disease. I've forgotten now what it was, but he died from it. Even though he'd been anointed and prayed for. And then Garner Ted Armstrong, in a message to the brethren, probably in Pasadena at that time, to the local brethren there, that church brethren would die. God will let it happen. We must hold on to our faith because it is going to happen. But it was a surprise that to him in those days. And then, is after we came into the church, God allowed Mrs. Herbert W. Armstrong, Loma Armstrong, to die. Whole church was praying for her. We expected her to be healed. The entirety of the church praying for Mrs. Loma Armstrong. God allowed her to die. So, and we'll get to explaining these in time, I hope. Anyway, way back in the early days, let's see if I can get my... Okay. Way back in the early days, we see that so many things were happening, like when the church first started. So I want to read some verses here in Acts chapter 5. The church had now just started. And in verse 12, Acts chapter 5, verse 12, and many signs and wonders were done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And none of the others dared to join them, but the people magnified them. And believers were added all the more to the Lord multitudes of both men and women, insomuch that the people were bringing out the sick into the streets and putting them on beds and stretchers, so that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And of course they would be healed. It was it was an exciting time. When you pray for somebody, read verse 16 now. And a multitude from the cities round about, not just Jerusalem, but round about, also came together to Jerusalem, bringing sick ones and those beset by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Not just a few. They were all healed. And we know the people were raised from the dead. You know, in Acts 20, we read the story. I don't have that here, so I'll not turn to it in Acts 20, but where Paul was preaching, and a young man fell from the window. I think it was his third story window. And but he apparently then, when Paul went down and some of the brethren, that he was healed, came back, he was okay. Wonderful things happened, and like I said, people were even raised from the dead. And they were in the Old Testament too at different times, not always, but different times they were raised from the dead. And we can remember, you know, some of those stories. And then I thought too, look at the faith that Stephen had in Acts chapter 7. And I'll just cut in verse 54. And hearing these things, they were cut to their hearts and gnashed the teeth on him, or their teeth on him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, looking intently into the heavens, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Can you imagine that? God didn't intervene to save his life. God let him die. But before he died, he saw Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the Father. What a vision. What tremendous glory that just strengthens people's faith. But it seems that God allowed things to change. Because everything does, God has a purpose for the way he does things. Okay, let me get down here. Yeah, this is Paul talking to, sending a letter just to Timothy. And this is in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23 is where I'll start. Okay, I'll just read the one verse here, verse 23. Paul says, no longer drink only water. Doesn't mean you couldn't drink water, but don't drink just water. But use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. So my question would be, what happened? How come Paul just didn't send an anointed cloth and Timothy be immediately healed? But he didn't. Paul said, you know, take a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. Okay. Now I'm going to read, and I've read this before, but in the book of Jude, because Jude saw some terrible things happening in that day. But in the book of Jude, verse 3, said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So apparently, people were drifting away. Maybe things were going wrong. They didn't expect it to be this bad, whatever. But you said that you earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. But then dropping down to verse 17, but you, beloved, remember the words that were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because they said to you, that in the last time, the apostles said this, there would be mockers who would be selfishly walking according to their own ungodly lust. These are the ones who cause division. Mr. Abbott was just mentioning to me how some of the, you know, another group in the body of Christ they heard a sermon preached by whoever that minister was. Same thing that we preach. Same thing that we teach. So why is there a division? Well, I know that God's going to take care of that in His appointed time. We just have to wait. It will happen. God will not tolerate division in the world tomorrow. That won't be allowed, obviously. So we'll all have to get our act together. Okay, verse 19 again. These are the ones who cause division. They are psychic, not having the Spirit of God. But you, beloved, be building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, so that you keep yourselves in the love of God while you are personally awaiting. Oh, yeah, we have to wait. While you are personally awaiting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We don't have eternal life now. And we've had people in our own local area here that died from a disease. And that's always sad. But we're waiting. We're waiting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. When there'll be no more death, no more sorrow. Then he says in verse 22, now on the one hand, show mercy to those individuals who are doubting. If somebody just doubts, you know, they can come up and say all sorts of things and say, well, look, you think God's going to do all these things, but I don't see God intervening and healing your people every time you get sick any more than I see it in the world out here. So, you know, that can cause some people to say, well, you know, yeah, you have a point there. But those type of things are going to happen, and we must remember, hang on to God's word. But on the other hand, verse 23, save others with fear, watching them or snatching them out of the fire, hating even the garment that has been defiled by the flesh. So there are people that, you know, if we can, we certainly need to help. Now then, because of modern technology, well, maybe I haven't got to that exactly, but anyhow, I did copy notes from a message there in Beyond Today. I thought I was going to bring that, but I didn't. But anyway, some of the verses that they mean, it calls it the time of the end. It says, and at that time, this is Daniel 12, verse 1, and at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands for the children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even until that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who shall be found written in the book. So, brethren, we're going to be delivered. There's going to be a time of trouble like it's never been, according to Daniel 12. Verse 1. Then in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, or Israel's trouble. And we're Israel. Most of us know that. But he, Israel, shall be saved out of it. God's got his eye on us. We're going to be saved out of it. Then Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. For then shall there be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be again. It's going to get rough. And I think the beginning of sorrows we're experiencing today. I know that, did I mention Mr. Shavy? Yeah, I think I did. We listened to that sermon. Oh, it was so powerful. That he gave on the Feast of Trumpets this past year. It was powerful. And Mr. Taylor's been giving us some really powerful messages as well. But here from Beyond Today, just because I copied some of what they said, it says, the fact is, a severe storm is brewing. Thankfully, the storm will ultimately break, but it will wreak great destruction before then. We need to pay attention. The world will be thrown into massive upheaval. As Jesus further said in his Olivet prophecy, there will be on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That's Luke chapter 21. Men's hearts failing then. I seen it with my older sister. I preached her funeral here. I just can't keep up with time, but 2 or 3 years ago, seemed like. And my younger sister just a few months ago. But anyway, back in the 50s, on the news all the time, Russia having these missiles, and they might fire a missile at us at any time. And they had a missile that could take out a major city, and they could get a rocket from Russia to these major places in the United States within 20 minutes. How are we going to defend against that if we don't even know it's coming? My older sister she was scared, constantly scared. I was about 16 at that time, and I thought, well, you know, I wasn't going to church at that time because, anyhow, that's another story. Just a teenage boy. My parents didn't go to church, so I didn't either. But anyway, I did believe in God, and I knew that God would take care of things. I knew there wasn't anything I could do about it, but she just lived in fear. But her heart didn't fail her at that time. She did die of cancer many years later. But anyway, this is in Matthew 24, verses 21 to 22, the Revised English Bible. This is a copy out of Beyond Today. He also says of this time, it will be a time of great distress, such as there has never been before, since the beginning of the world, and will never be again. If that time of trouble were not cut short, no living thing could survive. And for the sake of God's chosen, it will be cut short. And I've always thought, just thinking of that, that means if God didn't intervene, even the elect would be destroyed. If God didn't intervene, the weapons that mankind is going to develop and their ability to kill and destroy the earth would be so great, as it says here, no living thing could survive. It's going to be tough. The worst storm ever is coming. But the storm will break when Christ returns. Stay alert and hold fast through the storm to the peace and calm God has promised. I'll get my little computer here down. Oh yeah, here's something I wanted to bring out, because sometimes we have to wait. We wait so long, and God may not heal us in this age. But there's quite a few scriptures in the book of Psalms, and I've just copied over into my notes here. This is a Psalm of David, and he says, this is Psalm chapter 6, verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor chasten me in the heat of your fury. Be gracious unto me, O Lord, for I am weak. This is David saying he's weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is exceedingly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? He said, how long will I have to wait? Verse 4, return, O Lord, return, deliver my soul. Save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no memory of you. In the grave, who shall give you thanks? I am weary in my groaning. All the night I make my bed to swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eyes waste away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. But then he said, how long? How long do I have to wait? In Psalm 13, verse 1, Psalm of David, how long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? You know, this is David asking, how long? Is it going to be forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my heart, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? You know, I think all of us, our heart could go out. We know brethren. We know brethren that have been sick for years and years and years. And have had many trials. And certainly they could be asking in their prayers, how long? But I think all of us know that the time is coming. Then in Psalm 35, verse 17, it says, O Lord, how long will you look on? How long will you just watch, you know, look on and see that I'm suffering? Rescue my soul from their ravages, my precious life from the lions. How long, Lord, will you watch? Then in Psalm 74, verse 9, we did not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet, neither is there among us any who knows how long. Well, we find ourselves kind of in that situation even today. There's nobody that knows how long, but we can say, and I know that Mr. Taylor believes that, Mr. Shaby believes that, we are very near. We can't put a date. We can't say how long, like in the terms of days, months, or whatever. But it sure looks like the time is coming near. So, as David said, there's not any prophets among us that knows how long. How long are we going to suffer? Psalm 74:10, O God, how long shall the adversary speak evil? Shall the enemy blaspheme your name forever? Are they just going to be able to do all this stuff and never have to answer for it? Is our Congress going to be able to pass laws, breaking God's law, and God never intervenes? He watches, he knows what's happening, but they get away with it. The president's going to sign the bill. It becomes a law. And David is saying, how long? Then in Psalm 89, verse 46, how long, O Lord, will you hide yourself? How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Shall your wrath burn like fire? And then in Psalm chapter 94, verse 3, how long shall the wicked, O Lord, how long shall the wicked basically prosper? How long are you going to allow that? Then in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, Christ says, and because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, we have to endure. We can't fall away. We can't say, well, what's all this happening because God promised all these blessings and we're really suffering. Christ says, but the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. And I really always enjoyed Isaiah chapter 25, beginning in verse 6. And in this mountain, the Lord of hosts shall make a feast of fat things for all the people, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of refined wines on the lees. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering, which covers all people, and the veil that is woven over all nations. The world is blind. You know, this old man that I've mentioned before, that, you know, he's always up at McDonald's, so two or three times a week at least, I go up there and drink coffee with him. He's always asking me questions, and I enjoy it, telling him, but it doesn't register. And I hope that God will be merciful to him as well. The truth is not seeking in. He doesn't argue with me or condemn me. I just tell you, he didn't get it. He didn't get, even though, quote the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 13. Christ says, no man has ascended into heaven. No one. That includes Enoch and Elijah. No man means all. No man has ever ascended into heaven except the one who came down from heaven, referring to himself. And then John puts it in there, and who is now in heaven. But anyway, that doesn't register. It's just, God has to call us. And if he doesn't call people, then they can't understand. Doesn't mean that they're not good people according to man's standard. Because this old man is really good. He's given away lots of money. He inherited close to $500,000 when his dad died. And it's a little different than what we would do, but the way their marriage is, they've been married 52 years, and his wife takes care of him, but anyhow, he gave her $100,000, set up her own bank account, do what she wants. Plus she was a registered nurse, so she gets a pretty good retirement income right now herself. He bought his kids a brand new car and bought at least one of them a home, brand new home. And then he gave to his local church $25,000. And I think, you're pretty good over here. So, I hope God will have mercy on him. But there's a covering that's over his eyes where he just can't see. He can't see the spiritual truth. But God said he's going to remove that covering. Then in Isaiah 25, verse 8, he will destroy death forever. No more death. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And he shall take away from all the earth the rebuke of his people. For the Lord has spoken it. Oh yeah, people hate, in this world, hate God's people. But that kind of hate is going to be taken away. And one, verse 9, and one shall say in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. So that time is coming. We're waiting for that time, and God is going to take care of us. Just concluding, shall Christ find faith on the earth? If we do not become slack, but continue to read God's word and encourage each other, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's why we're here today. We're here. We encourage each other in messages, in songs, in just personal experience. A lot of times we said, how long? I've seen lots of people. I've seen my mother and my dad die. Seen my older brother and older sister and now younger sister die. And then I've seen friends die. I can go back when I was 8 years old, saw my granddad die. People are just going to die. Sometimes you wonder, well, why did God allow this? Some people might have a little child, like the one I just mentioned, 7 years old. A parent could say, I've had it. Why would God allow this to happen? How long will we have to wait till we see the wonderful prophecies of God fulfilled when this kind of thing will not be allowed? Well, the day is coming. So we need to be aware of that. And when Christ returns, he will find faith because we have remained faithful.